Hi, I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
drugs.
Yeah. Así o más sencillo.
Latinos Who Drugs.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kasho.
Hi, Babelito. What kind of drugs are you on?
I was gonna mention a bunch of drugs that old people take, but no me las sé.
Oh, Boniva.
Boniva. Para los huesos, para la artritis.
Uña de gato.
Veneno de escorpión azul. No, neta, eso cura el cáncer.
Calm down.
Seriously.
I know. I got it from my Herbalife dealer. Hugo Noni, too.
Ya eres nivel diamante.
Okay, are you going to introduce our guest or what?
Okay, so we are very excited and we are very honored today to have a musician that we wanted to have, an artist that we wanted to have in the podcast for a while. El Sancha, welcome.
Hi, hola.
So, Sancha, what kind of drugs do you do?
You know, I was at one of those grocery stores in Boyle Heights, and they had... like all those medicines that end in X. Oh, it was like body kicks or something or hemorrhoidex. And then my friend looked at it and he was like, "Ay, mira, Latinx."
Oh my God. How like ahead of their time, you know?
I have a story about that. My aunt, it's very funny, Martita.
Oh, shout out to Martita.
So she made up a medicine called Injección de Mitrozón, which just sounds like an injection of my peace. So I go to the pharmacy and I'm looking at the text. Like, my mitrozón, and then I'm looking at the pharmacist like, an injection of mitrozón, and then I finally got it. I was so angry at her.
Oh my God. Yes, she played you.
I estoy pidiendo la inyección de mitrozón. Anyway. Hi, so we just had a wonderful lunch. We had lunch at Ricky's Tacos here nearby Silver Lake. What do you think of the food?
It was delicious.
¿Qué comiste?
I had fish tacos.
Those are good. Mm-hmm. I had fish and shrimp. I took a break from my vegan lifestyle for these tacos.
You're not pescatarian?
Bitch, okay, let's talk about that. Because I hear people all the time saying like, oh, I'm vegan, but sometimes, you know, I'll eat meat. And, you know, if it's fish, it's okay. I'm like, bitch, you're an omnivore. Like, you're not a vegan. Like, flexitarian? No. Like, that's not a real thing. But what were you saying?
Que no eras pescatarian.
I live a plant-based lifestyle. Please don't judge me. I see your eyes.
I'm not judging you, girl. I'm actually being very supportive of your... vegetarian life.
And I can't believe it because you're such a hater at first.
But yeah, I was.
I do see you changing.
It's just because I grew up with meat and I love meat, so.
Well, that's true on many levels. But what did you think of the tacos, Babelito?
They were good. You know, I was missing one thing.
What?
So I used to have similar tacos when we lived in Puerto Vallarta for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. And they had like la salsa negra de, ¿cómo se llama esta mujer? De Lola's Cocinas.
Oh, yeah.
So if I had like a dry chili oil salsa, that would be perfection for those tacos. So that's the only thing that I'm missing. But that's because I'm used to that salsa with my fish tacos. Mm-hmm. But other than that, mira, los probé. Y caí en un abismo de pasión.
I'm not going to encourage that anymore.
It's a thing, girl. I'm going to put it in t-shirts.
I know you're going to sell that. Yeah. So what's your favorite food here in LA? Do you have any places that you suggest, or what's one of your favorite meals?
I'm addicted to chilaquiles.
Yeah,
always. Para la cruda siempre.
And only in Boyle Heights, though.
Where?
Okay, wait though. Chilaquiles.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the region of Mexico, they can be different. So describe your favorite kind of chilaquiles.
Well, the ones that they make at this restaurant,
yeah,
is called el Tapatío.
Uh huh.
So, of course, they put the egg on top.
Yes.
They have the rice and beans on the side. But, like, the tortillas are soaked in the salsa. Mm-hmm. I don't like when it's like super crunchy and you're eating chips.
That's chips with salsa. Yeah. That's not chilaquiles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's a place in Boyle Heights on 4th and Soto, I think. It's like a like a Mexican coffee shop / super mega Christians. But they have a couple of breakfast items. Y los chilaquiles ahí, güey. They're like, son de salsa de what we just had today, the molcajete. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. I forgot the name of it. I'll remember it later. But yes, that's a good choice.
Yeah, I do love chilaquiles.
So you are from San Jose, California.
Yeah.
So how do you end up in LA? Tell us a little bit more about you.
Well, San Francisco is really expensive.
Yes.
But San Francisco is a place where I like was like a baby gay, and like I moved there for college and then met all these drag queens. Well, Persia in particular.
Shout out to Persia.
And I got to like, that's when I really started performing, was in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But then I was like moving around a lot from Oakland to San Francisco, Berkeley, like trying to find the cheapest place. And I was like sharing a room and was like living bunk bed lifestyle when I left the Bay. Mm-hmm. But I left because it was too expensive. I was like, I don't. And then it was also my Saturn return. So I was like, I need to get the hell out of this country. And I like the Bay Area was driving me insane.
Yeah.
And so I left to Mexico.
¿A qué parte?
Well, I went to Mexico City for a little bit, luego Jalisco, because I have a tía there. She's the only one that didn't get married in the family, but my grandparents died a couple years ago, and she stayed with the farm.
Nice.
And so she's there by herself, and so I was like, I'm going to go keep her company and write some music, and I took, like, a laptop, microphone.
Y vámonos.
Yeah, and she was like, tienes que cantar rancheras. Yo no sé qué haces con esa otra música. And I was like, okay, tía, what song should I do? So I recorded a couple of songs for her. And then they were passing it around the family. Like, my tías were like, yeah, like, send me music and I'll pay you money. I'll send you some dollars. And I was like, cool.
So right now I've seen you that you do a lot of ranchera covers. Is that where it stems from?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, like, I feel like now in my 30s, or now that I am 30, and at this age, my voice has grown to a place where I could sing the rancheras and the mariachi music. Because before, I wasn't able to sing it like this. But then when I tried it for them, I was like, oh, I could do this. Uh-huh. And then I went to Mexico City and like was singing at the restaurants there.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And I felt like then was when my voice really opened up. I was like, singing outside and singing wherever, you know.
There's always a ranchera that takes you to that special place.
Yeah.
There's always a ranchera that you listen to, and it's just like, it's no matter how many times you listen to it, it takes you there. Which one is that for you?
Paloma Negra.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's a classic.
Yeah.
There's certain for me, it's Amor Eterno. Like, I still listen to it. I can listen to it 1,000 times, and I hear the live version of Juan Gabriel.
Oh, my God.
And
that
it
one
makes me cry every single so time. Good. Like, I'm crying just thinking about it. Yeah. Casi, casi.
Let it out, girl. It's okay.
La tuya, ¿cuál es?
Mine?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I would have to say Paloma Negra, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, once I heard the Chabela version of it, holy shit. Like, it was so powerful.
Especially the versions later on.
Yeah.
Where she's, like, almost reciting the song.
Yeah.
Ay, güey. No, yeah, good stuff.
Me rompe el corazón.
No te lo desgarra. Or like a friend used to say, it breaks it into little pieces and then builds it up again and then breaks it all over again. That's what it does. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's beautiful. So this was in what year?
I left in 2014 at the end.
And how long were you there?
I was in Mexico for 10 months.
Wow. Total. And then what was that decision that made you come back?
I had taxes to pay.
Real.
Yeah. My mom was like, tienes que venir, they're looking for you.
Oh, shit.
Like, okay. But then I had friends that had just like moved to LA, and they were like, you could live with me as long as like just look for a job, but like you don't have to pay rent. So I just had friends who made it really easy for me to move here. And even while I was here, like I have a friend that I've known since I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I really don't want you to leave. But I was like struggling to find a job and all that stuff. But they all collectively made it really easy.
For you to come back.
Yeah, to come to LA, yeah. And then Rudy took me to his mom's house, and I was like, oh, I'm sold.
Shout out to Rudy. Yeah.
Who we're looking at right now.
The ghost of podcast Keki. Cast. Keki.
So you come to LA, and then you start performing, and then your career starts to develop. Why don't, to some of our listeners that may not be familiar with your art, can mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit more about your music, the music aspect of your career, but also the performance aspect of your career? Because when mm-hmm. I look at your videos and when I see your things on YouTube, for mm-hmm. example, I see both. I see yeah. this like highly sophisticated art performance, but at the same time, this like badass mm-hmm. Musician.
When I was in the Bay, I was doing a lot of backtracks and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. performing like more electronic music, and it was all performance. It was like, I was hanging out with drag queens, of course. There was an abundance of wigs and outfits and stuff like that.
Hallelujah.
And then when I moved to LA, which my goal was when I went to Mexico originally, was like to find musicians. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want to play with a band. But I didn't really find that. And then, but when I got here to LA, I started singing with this band called Sister Mantos. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Sister Mantos.
Shout out to Sister Mantos. And from there, like, I started meeting more musicians. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when I was on the farm, I also wrote, like, this new body of music. I told the person, or Oscar from Sister Mantos, I was like, I want a band for this project. And he was one of the people that was, like, trying to hook me up with other musicians. Mm-hmm. And now, like, I still sing for them, but I have some members from them that also play for me in my band. But the kind of music I'm making now is, like, kind of cumbia and bolero influenced. Still, like, very dance music and stuff like that. Originally, I wanted it to be mostly, like, vocals and choir sounding. Mm-hmm. But it's become, like, a rock band. Maneras, you know, so yeah. I sing in rock bands that are like Latin, that are rock en español.
I know, girl. I heard you did a cover of Caifanes not too long ago in a presentation.
Well, we do La Negra Tomasa.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. It's like it's
the classical. Cover of a cover.
Classical, yeah. Uh-huh. That's amazing. Yeah. What about, I wanted to ask also about your, how much of that identity comes into every performance? Because, yeah, you're Mexicana, mm-hmm. you're queer, mm-hmm. you're a woman on stage and takes control over the whole entire stage. Mm-hmm. That background, how much does it influence every time you come onto stage?
Well, it's all of it, I think. Mm-hmm. It's like you're... I don't know. It's almost like I'm channeling something else mm-hmm. that's beyond me. Because sometimes I like feel like I black out when I'm there. That's but I'm awesome. Like, I want to be Juan Gabriel. I want to be like Chabela. All of this, all yes, in one. Uh-huh. My grandma too, because my grandma used to sing.
And oh, it's really?
Like, I just want to channel all that energy that you're not able to put out on a regular day. I used to sing in the church. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid and I used to like lead the church choir, and I always thought like we're always so silent and so like just like trying not to make any noise. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what would happen if I just started rolling around on the ground like screaming? And I'm like, that's what I'm like, and now that's what I do in all my performances.
That's beautiful.
It's like just like a letting go of all this stuff, you know, mm-hmm. all these like social norms of us having to be quiet and all these things and causing a ruckus, even though, like, I'm, like, this chubby brown girl, and I'm queer, and, like, I've been told that people don't want to see me on stage, you know?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into, is, like, yeah. I really started noticing you visually from social media and from, like, mm-hmm. your album covers or your demo cover yeah. that I really love. That I saw online.
Oh, yeah.
And just from that, I see like, okay, this is a different kind of girl. Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Like there's something there visually mm-hmm. to kind of prepare the audience, like, yeah. So how has that shifted? Because I've seen a shift recently, you collaborating with people,
yeah,
and then also just you kind of having like I said, like a kind of new look, right?
Yeah Well, coming from the Bay, like, you do everything yourself, everything's DIY, mm-hmm. But in LA there's somebody for everything, so it's like and I have a friend here who I met like the first couple of days that I was here, or when I first got here, and he's been helping me with outfits recently.
Nice.
But I mean, he's been helping me since the beginning, since I got here, and he, like, I still remember, like, the first night we hung out, he was like, I think you're gonna be a really positive thing here in LA, and we're still, like, working together.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Olima.
Yeah, I remember in the SCUM anniversary party that you came out to this, like, punk Latinx crowd with that shiny, like, lentejuelas, and I was like, ay, Dios mío.
He, like, styles me. He'll sometimes, like, he'll find pieces from Goodwill and we'll be like, here, put this together with this. And, like, he gets really excited about it, too.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's like we're homies and we hang out, and he always likes to take me thrift shopping. But he also makes, like, custom pieces for, like, famous people and people who will, like, pay him thousands of dollars and stuff. But for me, he'll make it for, like, $10.
Yes! It's part of the performance. It's part of the art piece. Because we know you recently performed at Mocha, right?
Oh, yeah.
So art is part of what you do.
Yeah, and I didn't think so before, because I was always like, I'm just a musician, mm-hmm. you know? But the way I came up, like, my first show that I did in San Francisco was at an art show for Persia, actually. And I've never thought of myself as, like, a visual artist or a performance artist or anything like that. I'm just like, it's a part of the music, but I have been in all these spaces. I've, like, performed at the Hammer.
Wow.
And, like, Ballroom Marfa and things like that. I'm like, I guess I am an artist.
Yeah. So how does it differentiate, though, to go to those predominantly white spaces like Marfa, Ballroom Marfa, or the Hammer Museum, and then go to, like, SCUM and perform there? Like, it's completely two different audiences.
Oh my God, that SCUM performance was magic.
Uh-huh, it was.
I, like, still watch the videos and just hear all the people freaking out.
That's so cool.
I was like, oh, this is such a dream.
Do you adjust your performances for that? You just do your thing and...
I kind of do adjust depending on what I think the audience is going to be and stuff like that. Because I could perform alone. I could perform with one other musician or a full band. But for SCUM, it was like La Victoria was there. So, of course, I was like, sing a couple songs with them.
And shout out to La Victoria, badass mariachi band. Uh-huh. Yes.
Sometimes I go to Las Perlas, where they perform every Wednesday, and they'll just, like, call me up. They're like, Sanchez in the house. So I'm like, oh, we do that already.
You're like, homie, I wasn't preparing that. Pull out her music sheet.
Exactly.
And for the listeners that haven't listened for a long time and don't know what SCUM is, maybe we should talk about that.
Go for it
a little bit. So SCUM is a monthly party that happens here in LA and Montebello, more specifically, at Club Chico. And it's put together by our friends Rudy and Ray, and they're amazing. But it's this very specific audience, right? It's like a queer Latinx punks.
Yes.
And when I first started going, like, I've been going for a long time, like, three scums ago. When I first started going there, I've never felt that way before, like, so included in something. Mm-hmm. And just to be around all these, like, brown weirdos, like, brown queers is so cool. So, I mean, it was a very comfortable space, and I didn't expect that, because there's a lot of different stereotypes that come with, like, punk rockers, you know, for example, that, and all that was shattered, which I love. So, and then seeing everybody perform, seeing you perform, it was just so beautiful. So, all that to say, because Babalito's talking about audience, like, who do you see as your target audience, or, like, who is actually going to your shows and listening to your music?
Well, it has to be the queer punks, yeah, brown artists that are trying to really fuck everything up.
But see, that's what I love about what you do and seeing you live, mm-hmm, in those spaces, because again, as Fabi mentions, there's an idea that like punk kids only listen to this type of music, mm-hmm, and then les pones una canción de Juan Gabriel y se vuelven locas.
It's such a melting pot of, mm-hmm, of a lot of things.
Yeah, they love No Doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, Sunday like, morning, last call.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of pop in here, a little bit of pop punk. Like,
yeah. Totally. What about the I'm curious about the reaction of the like mainstream institutional art spaces, because, mm-hmm, that's completely different.
Yeah, I mean, ballroom was good. There was a lot of people. Like, there's someone that drove from Austin.
That's so cool.
And they were like, they wrote this. Well, now they're my friend, but yeah, they wrote this cool thing about me, and it was like, try seeing Chavela and Selena channeled in one performance. And
you're,
I was
like, yes. You're like, you're my best friend. Call me every 5 minutes now.
Exactly. Best friends.
That's awesome. Uh-huh. Yeah, and cause when you said Ballroom Marfa, I remember now the, mm-hmm, cause you were there with Rafa Esparza as well, right?
Yeah, I was there. We crushed his residency.
That's awesome. Yes. And cause I've been to Marfa twice. It's this tiny little town in Texas, and it got famous in the 80s, because of minimalist art. And there's a lot of
Donald Judd.
I couldn't think of his, mm-hmm, name. Yeah. Whatever, they're all the same. And so it's like a very specific audience. It's like a very specific, small, wide, hipster / artsy community. Mm-hmm. So to see, for example, Rafa doing his thing, just like covering with like brick mud and all these things, mm-hmm, and then seeing your performance on top of that, like, must have been something very powerful, because Marfa, and also there's all this like Mexicano roots that people forget about it in Marfa.
And they had that door open in their gallery, so I got to make noise outside.
Nice.
So a lot of people that were just walking by got to come in and stuff like that.
I love when like you guys or like Justin, they go into those spaces, mm-hmm, and Favi, and they just, they 2 years, girl, 2 years. I know.
I don't even have to say it anymore. He makes fun of himself.
A veces me dices Emmanuel, güey.
Never. Not anymore.
Anyway.
I'm a professional.
Anyway, so to see that there's this, all this, both physically and conceptually, this wide walls. Mm-hmm. And then they get interrupted by like your art, like your paper and your performances. Mm-hmm. I always see that as being so powerful, because even though we might be used to it because we surround ourselves in social media by the same people that are doing the same type of art, we forget that that's not common. So like, I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, the call and response with people that are like you is like more give and take. When I am in wider spaces, it's like you don't get that reaction from people. So it's almost like I'm not performing to anyone, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there's always like a few people sprinkled around that are really into it. And I'm like, mm-hmm, I'm here for you, you know?
Yeah, that's what you have to focus on.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in spaces and I feel like I'm there just to fill a quota, mm-hmm, you know, or just to almost, sometimes I feel like exoticized, like, look, we got this brown artist doing this thing over here.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever felt that way doing a performance or doing a gig somewhere?
Not yet.
Good. Good. Yeah. Good. Well, you're hanging around the right people. That's awesome. Yeah.
Cause even in ballroom, like, one of the persons, Gabby, who's helping me, she does Border Beats and Babes, which is a radio show in Marfa, mm-hmm, and she's from Juarez.
Hey.
So I was like, okay, brown girl, booking a brown girl. Like, yes. Let's make this happen. And she was like one of the ones taking care of me.
That's awesome. And what's Sarah, your name again?
Gabby.
Okay. I'm going to look her up.
Yeah.
I'm from Juarez.
Yes, you guys will be BFFs.
Yes. tell us a little bit more about your influences. Obviously, you talked about Chavela Vargas. But I know your roots go from pop to ranchera to like
always
hardcore.
Selena, Gloria
Did
Trevi.
I hear of Spice Girls?
Oh,
cover?
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute,
wait a minute.
Of course.
That's awesome.
I did listen to the Spice Girls. Mariah was very big on pop, actually. So it's like, it's crazy for me to be like involved in punk scenes, like since I was in San Francisco, like queer punk and things like that. Cause I'm like, I think I write pop songs. I just scream a little bit. But like growing up, I was the first of my family, and I didn't speak any English until I started kindergarten. So everything was like Spanish music. I listened to Faye and Selena. Up until I was like maybe like 11. Then I started listening to Mariah Carey because my cousin was like, she's Latina.
As Venezolana.
I know. Trust and believe. Please.
Se me olvida.
No, I never forget.
So that's my like crossover to like English music was Mariah Carey.
So we have, you have love for Faye, but we also have a common love for Gloria Trevi. Let's talk about her for a second.
I'm gonna go.
I remember seeing her as a kid and being like, she's naked.
Yes.
Cause she'd come out in, what was it, Domingo.
Siempre en domingo. Aún hay más. Yeah, I'm a nerd. Yeah, she's. I remember seeing her singing a whole song called Acostada Media Calle, and she sang the whole song on the floor.
Oh my God.
And for Siempre en Domingo, that shit was like, I remember my mom like, ay, que naca. Like, yeah. I remember, I was like, this is fucking amazing. Like, this is so cool. But for like mainstream Televisa audiences in Mexico, that was just like the next day people were talking about it and like the gossip news and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's just, she was, I remember being obsessed with her and not even really understanding why.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't take my eyes off her. She's naked.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to see this.
Pero no puedo.
I know. Mom, I want to be just like her.
What was that song of Cristina Aguilera en español?
Genie in a Bottle?
Yeah, but she says a quote like, mi cuerpo dice quiero, pero mi alma tiene miedo.
Wow.
That's exactly what you're describing.
Poetry. Me gusta, pero me asusta.
Cálmate, Ana Bárbara.
Yes.
So who else? Who else? What other are?
Britney Spears.
Yes.
Christina Aguilera.
Let's get into it. Bye.
I had a big lesbian crush on Britney Spears.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ever since she was a sexy schoolgirl. When we were schoolgirls.
I was like, my cousin gave me a poster, a Britney Spears poster for my birthday. And she was like half naked and I put it up and I was like, am I a lesbian?
Really? How old were you then?
I was like maybe 12 or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 12, so 13.
What about Britney Spears other than her body? Do you enjoy?
That first song though, she looked all tomboyish and stuff. Like she had like no boobs and stuff. She looked like, and she was like doing all those flips and playing basketball.
Oh, yeah. She had the boy shorts on, yeah.
And that song is really catchy, Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
It's so well written.
It is.
So really well written pop song.
It's like
song.
Right in the edge. It's like, I remember coming back to Gloria Trevi's first four albums, because that's all I fuck with.
Yeah.
And listening to those lyrics and be like, bitch, and now I know why my parents didn't want me to listen to this stuff. It's like they play with that line where it's just like not good, but then it's also so good.
Yeah, and those melodies, I'm like, I'm a sucker for like a really good melody and like song structure. I'm like a nerd about it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So Britney Spears, Gloria Trevi, ¿quién más?
Who else? Mariah, we said Mariah.
Mariah.
Spice Girls.
Why the Spice Girls? Like, why do you do that cover? I mean, it's awesome.
Why did I start doing that cover? Oh, well, I had a friend who threw this club called Club Fist. Mm-hmm. And she had a Spice Girls night. And it was when I first got to LA. And I was like, yeah, I'll do a couple Spice Girls covers. And then I did like a medley. Mm-hmm. So I did some like oldies sounding one. Too much of something, mm-hmm. not enough. Of something. And then I did, I'm giving you everything.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then I ended with Spice Up Your Life, but I was like, I'm going to slow it down and make it cumbia. And then my friend Olima saw it and he was like, bitch, that needs to be a song. Like, yes. You need to do that one. And so then I got it produced by Oscar's sister Mantos. And then we're going to make a beat, like a music video for it and everything. Yeah. And I was like, I wanted to have like Donald Trump eating jalapenos. And me being like, I got some spice for you, daddy.
Yes, that's awesome.
Telling him to spice up his life.
No puede el pobre.
No puede.
Se le hincha el estómago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And that's one aspect about your music that I wanted to touch on. Mm-hmm. When I listen to your music, it's like acid cumbias. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to rock en español since rock en español was rock en español. And I remember once in a while, like La Negra Tomasa will come out.
Yeah.
Or there was another band that played with Jaguares for a little bit called La Barranca. Mm-hmm. And they also here and there had like this like really acid psychedelic cumbias. Yeah. But it was just little blurbs here and there. And mm-hmm. then when I started seeing your videos, like that's what you do. Like what inspired you to get to that level of like just take cumbias, which is something that we all grew up with, mm-hmm. but like twist them in a completely different direction.
I guess, well, I always loved dancing cumbias. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need to mix cumbias with all this stuff. Like, cause I want to be able to move on stage and like feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And my comfort is cumbia dancing.
Yes.
And so I'm like, if that could be the basis for everything, then everything can go around it. But I was like singing in the church, I always loved all the songs about like not having any more hope and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. it's always the really sad songs of like before Easter. It was always like the really like, oh, I'm about to die kind of songs. And I was like, those are my favorite. And so I feel like now when I write music, that's how I write, like in that's in those somber tones and mm-hmm. like those minor keys and stuff like that. And I love noises. Like there's John, who I play with, and Sister Mantos, who also plays with me. Uh-huh. His guitar sounds are like, they're like little sparkles and they're like water. And it just like so much texture. Like, and I love that. I love that about his guitar playing. And I love pretty synths. I love like, you know,
texture in music. Yeah. Yes. And that's another aspect I like, because I feel like we forget that a lot of these big cumbia bands, think about Los Angeles Azules mm-hmm. and others, they came out to prominence in like a very psychedelic era.
Yeah.
Like I recently saw Los Angeles Azules and they had trippy ass images. And I was like, oh shit. Like mm-hmm. there's also this level on it, but we don't see it like that because we listen to it from a very safe way, right? Like quinceañeras and mm-hmm. con la tía o con la mamá o con el papá.
Yeah, at a distance.
Correct. Yeah. But then we have people like you that extract that essence, that psychedelic essence from cumbias, and it's just mm-hmm. like it becomes its own thing, its own genre.
Yeah,
it's so cool. It's really cool.
You know what I was thinking is like, as a queer person, cumbia, mm-hmm. the dance itself, mm-hmm. I noticed that when I go to quinces or family gatherings, it's a lot of girl on girl dancing.
Oh yeah.
You know, I feel like it's a very
queer
friendly mm-hmm. dance because of that. I never put that together till right now when I'm thinking about it, because you know, it's like it's a little bit more complicated than merengue mm-hmm. and it's not as like macho and like close as like norteño, like polka dancing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I just made that connection.
Actually,
talk amongst yourselves.
I'm all,
right?
That's probably why I love dancing to it. Even my cousin's new wife was the one who taught me how to dance cumbias at like a backyard or My uncle and my tia used to have like a, they used to live in duplexes. Mm-hmm. They used to live in different duplexes. And they had this huge parking lot. And my tia would always throw parties for herself. And she'd hire some like cheap DJ, like some kid. And we'd always have those parties. It was like garage parties. And one time I was like watching my cousin's new wife, and she I was like, "How do you dance to this?"
My cousin's new wife, yeah. Who shall remain nameless.
Well, it's crazy because she like they live back in Jalisco now, and she works for a curandero.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I was learning from that crazy bitch. Of course I would.
Oh my gosh.
But she taught me, she's like, mira, sí. And she showed me the steps. Mm-hmm. And back then I used to make up dances for my school and stuff like that.
Choreographer.
Yeah. Según yo. And so I learned the steps right away. I was like, oh, okay, I could do that.
There's some people, oh my God, like shout out to Luis. I talked about this many times. Mm-hmm. There's some people who know how to dance cumbia and it's like on another level.
Yeah.
I need to learn that. It's sexy. Now that you mentioned that, like, banda is very gay to me now. Because like holding onto your dude.
Well, with two dudes.
My favorite thing is to hold onto my dude with one hand, with one arm, and the other one mi cerveza.
Oh, so butch.
I go into another level, girl. Oh, girl. Anyway. Me emociono,
it's
me emociono.
True. Look at you.
Pues es que me gusta bailar.
So I have a very important question for you.
Ay, wait, tranquilos.
If you were to enter somebody's grandmother's house, for example, you just met for the first time, and you felt comfortable there because they're like your friend's grandma or whatever, would you go to their kitchen and open the fridge?
Oh, no.
Without asking?
No,
right? Uh-uh. Okay, that's
even
it.
If you were there for like 3 hours.
No, because my mom was always like, "Ay, no me gusta esa amiga, es bien conchuda." Like, because I'd have friends sometimes they'd grab a soda or something, and she's like, "No, no me gusta esa amiga."
That is
and my
so
mom
true.
Has taught me from the beginning, like, you don't just go to someone's kitchen and like.
No me estás ayudando, Sancha.
I know that was a slip up, Baba. You normally don't do that.
No,
but
really.
I'm gonna bring it up every episode.
Okay,
till the
that's
we die.
That's gonna be the refrigerador section of Latinos Who Lunch.
No. Okay, but serious. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I forgot. I meant to ask you this in the beginning, but tell our audience about your name, like where does your name come from, because I know there's como que tiene doble sentido, right?
So Sancha of course is the mistress, la otra, but I wanted to separate the words because like San Francisco, San Jose,
Santo.
Because I also feel like in the Catholic religion, especially like Mexican Catholic religion, like the saints are kind of the Sancha, right?
Oh, ay, porque sí.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm like, oh, okay. So like, I also want that religious context because I like religion was a huge part of my life for so long. Mm-hmm. And now thinking about religion in the way that we're controlled by it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I want that context in my name.
Is there a level of that, the Catholicism, like that Mexican Catholicism, that influences your performances?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah?
I like feel like I'm always having an exorcism.
Yes. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like people telling you que tienes el diablo por dentro, and like I'm like, maybe I do, but maybe we all have el diablo. And everything, suelto, we're everything, girl. Yeah. Déjalo salir.
Speaking of, I have to go to the bathroom. No, I'm just kidding. Speaking of, dad joke. Speaking of, I heard you had an upcoming album.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So, are you excited?
I am excited.
Yes.
I'm mostly like, can I just put it out already?
Yeah.
It like these things take so much time, and it's like it's not just the music. It's always like, oh, like, you need artwork, you need this, you need to master it, mix it, like, pay people for it, not pay people for it, because I don't have money. And it's always a process, and, like, we recorded these songs with this other band that I used to play with before we went on tour last summer. And we did them in one take. So they're not like recorded like piece by piece. It's like,
oh, I see.
One entire day. And it's like I have, instead of a drummer, I have a conga player. And then I play electric guitar, and there's bass and two singers and some Guido action.
Yes.
yeah. And I mean, they're all songs about, well, when I left the Bay, there was this white man who was supposedly helping me. And then when he got called out for being a racist, he tried to sue me for like a gift, for a gift that he gave. Like, he gave me an instrument for $200 and he was like trying to sue me for that. And so a lot of this music has to do with like that situation of like him acting like my savior, but also being like, one time he told me, oh, when he bought me that instrument, he said, you owe me your soul, ha ha ha, bye. And like,
ay, que pendejo.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck, he does think he's a devil.
Damn.
That's crazy.
So all these songs are like very like El Diablo, Salvador, like things like that, very religious context, but
in reference to that.
In reference to that, yeah.
And to the fact that you didn't need him to do your thing.
No.
Yeah.
He was really holding me back.
And what are your expectations with this album? Like, do you...
I want to tour.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm itching to tour, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are you, like, is it in your plans to visit Mexico? Like, back where you started this new exploration?
I really want to go to the rancho eventually.
You una, ¿cómo se llama? Una party con tu tía?
Yeah.
Aquí no hay Sancha.
Tell everybody that story. It's so good.
Well, when I moved to Mexico City, my friend was like, the first thing you need to do is buy one of these burner phones. Get it from the Oxxo, right?
Yes. So,
yes. ¿Cuál Oxxo? ¿Cuál de todos?
There's one in Tacubaya.
On the corner?
Uh-huh.
I know the one.
No, se me hace que es el que está cruzando la calle.
Uh-huh. And,
that's where I get my Camel Crushes. Yeah. The strawberry ones.
Yes. And like... So I bought the phone, and I was going to stay in Mexico City for like a week and then go to the rancho.
Mm-hmm.
But I called my tía from that phone right away. And I was like, tía, I have a phone, like, and I'm going to see you in a week and all this stuff. And then my friends went with me, and they basically dropped me off. And then one of my friends kept that phone for a night. I don't know, we got drunk, and somehow he ended up with the phone. And then this bitch gets my phone and calls the only number that I ever called on that phone, and it was my tía. And he called looking for Sancha. And my tía was like, aquí no hay Sancha.
Pinche igualada.
That's funny. Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. I think we should take a little break.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to come back with recommendations, and maybe, just maybe, Sancha will play something for us.
Oh! Buenas tardes, audiencia de Latinos Who Lunch. Pabelito here giving you a very special message from one of our sponsors. Hiring is challenging. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos, especially if you have a small business. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. That's amazing. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. Wow.
And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. Pongan atención, cabrones. ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. LATINOS. ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. Qué fácil, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry. You know what I could use right now?
Let me guess, una sopita de fideo.
Yes, bitch! From the original Lindo, Michoacán on Desert Inn in beautiful, sunny, dry Las Vegas.
El otro día me levanté, güey, con unas ganas de una tortuga. I was so hungry.
¿Tortuga de qué?
Tortuga de milanesa. Que se me sube a la cabeza. You know, actually, what is my mom's favorite over there?
What?
El menudo, because, like, in Vegas, it's so hard to find good menudo, because siempre está bien grasoso. But in Lindo, Michoacán, the original, the one on Desert Inn, they have the best menudo in Las Vegas. Approved by Clementina Rodriguez de Ortega.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. And you know what's also awesome? They have a bar, obviously, and they have a lot of different drinks. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't drink alcohol, you can get a mocktail, which is awesome. You can get a virgin piña colada, virgin strawberry daiquiri. I remember when I used to go there as a kid, that's what we would get for our birthdays. So you can live your sober cocktail fantasy there if you'd like. Or blackout or not.
Alcoholic fantasy.
Or just, you know, just keep the cycle going. Anyway, Lindo Michoacán.
Save water, drink margaritas.
Ya me canso de llorar y no amanece. Ya no sé si maldecirte o por ti rezar. Tengo miedo de buscarte y de encontrarte. Donde me aseguran mis amigos que te vas. Hay momentos en que quisiera mejor rajarme y arrancarme ya los clavos de mi pena. Pero mis ojos se mueren sin mirar tus ojos. Y mi cariño con la aurora te vuelve a esperar. Ya agarraste por tu cuenta las parrandas. Paloma negra, paloma negra, ¿dónde andarás? Ya no juegues con mi honra, parrandera. Si tus caricias han de ser mías, de nadie más. Y aunque te amo con locura, ya no vuelvas. Paloma negra, eres la reja de un penal. Quiero ser libre, vivir mi vida con quien yo quiera. Dios, dame fuerza, que me estoy muriendo por irla a buscar. Ya agarraste por tu cuenta las parrandas.
That song is so powerful.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Me estoy chuquet, no puedo hablar.
Chuquet.
Can you get into that song a little bit and why you perform it so much? We talked about it a little bit, but
yeah, I mean, hearing that Chavela version.
Yeah.
I remember actually going to the Casa Azul for the first time. And that song was on along with the picture of her and Frida. And I don't know why, but I started crying. I was like, I mean, it's the song, of course, but
yeah.
I was like, oh, that song is so beautiful. I need to cover that song.
And it's been around for so long, and it always...
Yeah.
Oof. But your interpretation,
mm-hmm.
that's amazing. Because you... I mean, because it's como la bandera esa canción. Like,
yeah.
It's like a nation... It's the symbol of the nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it can get... It can go to so many different places.
Yeah.
But I mean... Neta que me quedé sin palabras. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ay, güey. All right. So,
cálmate, cara.
No, I mean, it was beautiful. Yes. Well, now we move on to the part of a show where we recommend, give shout outs to people. Mm-hmm. And we're going to let you go first. Do you have anybody in mind? Or anything?
Other shout outs that I didn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, we did Scum, Sister Mantos.
Yeah. Persia.
Well,
you know what? We never really got into Persia being your drag mother, right?
Oh, that's true.
So you were surrounded by all these drag queens when you were in
Persia,
San Francisco,
for the
and
most
Persia.
Part. Yeah. She's the one who introduced me to everyone.
Yeah.
I used to just party with her. Like, we met at Q Bar in San Francisco. and then I forgot who told her, but they were like, oh, Sancha sings. And she was like, oh, I have an art show coming up. You should sing for it.
Mm.
She hadn't heard anything, like, at all. All I had was 3 backtracks to songs. And I performed and they were like, oh my God, bitch, you need to do this more often.
Yeah.
And you need to write me some songs. But as soon as I met Persia, I like started meeting other drag queens and going to drag shows. And I would perform at drag nights. She used to perform at Esta Noche, which is no longer, I think now there's an Esta Noche club.
Mm-hmm.
But back when it was on 16th and Mission, I'd go every Saturday with her, and sometimes I'd get ready with the drag queens downstairs. The person that she was dating at the time was like, bitch, they don't let girls down there. Like, you should be lucky.
Wow.
I was like, I'm not a girl. Not yet a woman.
Yeah, Britney reference to come through. Oh, yes. Okay, awesome. I know. I mean, those places can sometimes be toxic.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
I hit you one more time. Okay, so...
But yeah, right. Persia introduced me to a lot of people, and that's really where, like, I credit, like, the beginning of, like, me getting into music, like, full-time
and
really dedicating myself to it. But she taught me all the makeup tricks, all the wig tricks. She was like, bitch, you have to always perform in heels. No performing in flats.
Yeah. Oh my
Anytime
God.
I'd perform in she's flat right, shoes, she'd right. be like, bitch, what did I tell you? Or anytime someone would do my makeup and it looked like slightly ugly, she was like, no, bitch, you always have to look pretty.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then we'd go to like bars and stuff like that. And she'd be like, you have to make friends with everyone at this bar. And I was like, okay.
Saludando a todos como si fuera misa. La pase contigo, la pase contigo.
Yeah. But she was very like, kind of like prepping me for this like show kind of life. She's like, you need to be nice to everyone. Don't be a bitch. Like, kind of like proper party etiquette and stuff like that.
Damn, things that you don't think about. I mean, I think about it with a lot of my students. And that's something that I learned from Favi. they're like, well, how do I start my career? I said, go to every freaking opening. Mm-hmm. Support your local artists. Yeah. Go everywhere. Say hi to everybody. Mm-hmm. And just keep doing it and doing it and doing yeah. it. And all of a sudden, you're going to be part of that scene.
Yeah. It's important. Meeting people mm-hmm. and stuff. And yeah. That's what I was doing with her. She's like, we have to go to this party. We have to go to this one.
It, bueno, pues.
Okay. I was drunk all the time, so.
No me acuerdo de nada.
But it was, to me, like drag performers as opposed to musicians, like you could see that performance aspect a lot more. Yeah. I could see how a drag queen could like captivate an audience with one song.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas opposed to like musicians, they sometimes don't even care about performance. Or a lot of the time, a lot of musicians don't care about their performance.
And it's about both. I feel like not only the music, but the personality. I've seen bands where the music is incredible and the performance is just not there. And it feels empty life. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen other performances where like one single performer fills the entire stage.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, you just need to know those things. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, there are some drag queens that would make the stages look tiny.
Yes.
And I was like, that's what I want. So, like, I was drunk, but I was studying them.
You remember.
I remember.
So, Persia, I'll put it in the, mm-hmm. In the website so everybody knows who she is.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. We need to have her on, too, because we've talked about her several times.
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah, we had a song together. Well, I did a couple songs for her that she performed still, but we did a song. I had this band called Daddy's Plastic in the Bay.
Oh, yeah. You were in a band together, right?
Yeah, well,
or
Daddy's Plastic was together, and then Persia, because they were closing down Esta Noche, and they were having an Esta Noche benefit show. She was like, I need to have a song for that. And it was like a week away. And she was like, she saw me and Daddy's Plastic play, and she was like, y'all need to write me a song. All I have is Google apps.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, yeah, bitch, let's do it. She's like, there's all these white people doing this benefit for Esta Noche, and like all this shit's going wrong, and I'm losing my job. And I was like, come over. So we wrote it in like a day, and then we performed it the next week.
Wow.
And right away, people were like, hitting us up for interviews and stuff like that. And then when the video came out, which we made just in a green screen, like we were on BuzzFeed, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Amazing.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Man, the internet.
Yeah. Totally. I was like, what the hell just happened? And then like white people starting to call us reverse racists and shit like that.
Yeah. No falta el que caga el palo siempre.
Uh-huh. But yeah, we had that whole experience with Persia. I mean, it wouldn't have happened without her.
Well, speaking of the internet, I've been watching a lot of drag on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a couple competition shows that I've been watching. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but The Switch is like the Chilean version of Drag Race.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
And it's like, yeah, you can watch it all on YouTube, girl. So they did a season last year, and mm-hmm. so they found like Chile's next drag superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it just sounds funny.
That wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. They brought back that season, and now they're having them compete with international drag queens in Chile. So there's like some Drag Race girls on The Switch. I think Gia Gunn is like one of the main ones. So that, mm-hmm. and then there's this new one called La Más Draga.
From Mexico City.
That's Mexico City drag.
Oh,
yes.
It's so good.
I know. So I recommend those two things if you haven't been watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get through a few of the episodes. I got some long flights. I'm very excited about that. And then Viceland actually just put out, well, by the time this comes out, it'll be over. So,
mm-hmm.
but you can check out this show called My House,
mm-hmm.
which is like a contemporary, I don't want to say it's a contemporary version of Paris is Burning. It's a continuation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this docuseries on the ballroom culture in New York, which is really awesome. So I recommend that.
So my recommendation is totally unrelated, but I was listening in my way to pick up Favi. I was listening to Latina USA Favi.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
Stupida. It's okay. I might go into a rant right here.
Okay.
So when we were in All Grow,
We All Grow Latina.
We All Grow Latina. Uh-huh. Network Summit. Bobby mentioned something very important, that we have this network, Support Brown Podcasts, Support Latinx Podcasts, and the leading brown Latinx podcast, Latino USA, has never mentioned any of us. Mm. We are nothing to them, even though we're always giving them shout outs, retweeting. Mm. I know that Radio Mene, like all of us are always paying attention to that. So they came out with an episode called Of Bloodlines and Conquistadors, and it's a topic that we cover in our podcast like three times about the conquistador lineage in New Mexico. Mm. We talked about it in different points, from like the food that people eat to ideas of identity. And it's something that, yeah, I think it's come out in the podcast at least four times, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that they're copying us. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they need to pay attention to what other people are doing, because we're bringing these conversations into the foreground and we don't get any credit. And like that, there's so many Latinx podcasts that are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And instead, now that it's probably in Latino USA, it's going to get all this attention. And then another thing they did is that they referred to their Pueblo Revolution, because it was a fucking revolution, because New Mexico indigenous people kicked out the Spanish, and that was the only successful one for 16 years. They call it a revolt. Like it was just un par de indios, así, alborotados. No, this was a full-on revolution. Damn. Words matter, and it's important. So Latino USA, pay attention to your history, pay attention to your vocabulary, and pay attention to a movement of podcasts that is right behind you and you don't want to
acknowledge.
That's it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Get mad, man. Fuck.
Damn, your recommendation was reading Latino USA. Okay.
No, because at the end, it was a really good episode. But I'm just like, this could have been a conversation that we could all be having, you know, and we don't get that credit. Again, we don't need that credit because we're doing our thing for ourselves. But sometimes it will be nice to be acknowledged once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
Ay, hasta medio calor.
And I mean, and sometimes a lot of these topics are floating around and people are talking about the same thing without knowing that they're talking about the same thing.
Right. Even like, though we started talking about this 2 years ago.
I remember I did a whole exhibition about the good neighbor policy during World War II and how Latin America was involved in that. And then Latino USA came out with an episode the week that my installation opened. Like they didn't copy me. I was just thinking about that at the same time. Yeah, yeah. But I do appreciate your passion.
Qué amable. Gracias. Sancha, this is an honor.
You
get us physically shaking.
That was we really were chicken.
You filled this entire room with your voice.
Yeah.
And with your presence. We are very excited. Our recommendation should be the new album that is coming out. We'll put and we'll recommend it. We'll promote it because we need more people like you. We need more people like you to represent how different we are and how we represent everything from fucking Britney Spears to Chavela Vargas.
How complex we are.
Yes. Yeah. And your
we're
music.
Not just Shakira.
Right.
I love her, but
yeah, we're a lot more than that.
Waka and waka.
Your presence in the stage and your voice, it's all of that.
Yeah.
And for that, we thank you and keep going, man. Keep shining.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being here and for being our first musical guest.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, on Latinos Who Lunch. First musical performance ever.
Yes.
More to come.
Yes. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your questions to asklwlpod@gmail.com. Please, if you have a moment, rate us on iTunes 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more represented we are. And
representation is essential.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Our intern is Carla Lagunas. Marketing from Hector Aguilar. Our music is by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.